I really enjoyed and really could associate with the word that Jan Cor gave last week about giving honor. And this week I felt that I needed to go look on the internet for another sermon, and it was just amazing. You know, there's a church in America that's also had a conference about a month ago, and the main word that was brought to Saturday evening was on honor as well. So I really do believe it's always awesome for me. I do believe that God speaks universally, because it's not about us, because he builds his church. So wherefore, why would he build a different church in that sense in America or in Europe or Australia? Because at the end of the day, it's his church. So yes, each one has got its own unique characteristics for that area, but at the end of the day, it's his body. And I just love it when God speaks universally with his church. I really feel this morning just to speak a bit on honor as well, just to start off. But I felt, and it was almost confirmed this week, I told my friend after that sermon, do you think of giving honor as something that is limited to the fact that I need to obey and be, submissive to leadership? Because a lot of people hear the word honor and they think leaders above us. You need to honor. The word also talks about honoring the king. But I really feel that it should not be limited to that if we look at the definition of the word honor. And as Jesus gave honor to various people in the Bible that wasn't above him. I really do believe, as Henning was saying, we should see the gift of the person that is sitting next to you. And he gave my sermon in that sense. We tend to focus on the 30% that we don't get right. Praise God for that 70%. Praise God for the 80% that we do get right. Thank him for that. I just looked up the word honor and says that it's to hold in great respect. It's to hold in high esteem, to have a high regard for, to defer to look up to think highly of, to appreciate, to value, to prize and cherish. As I want to explain this morning, I want to say, if you think of honor, think about you place high value on somebody else. Now, how can that be limited to only a leader or a person who's above you? How can it not, if you look at the people that are sitting next to you this morning, and how can you say, I don't honor the person next to me? The giving of honor, I really do believe, is where our church is going to go in the next season. And it goes hand in hand into what God really wants to establish between us, I believe, is a culture of worshiping him. It's focusing on the 70%. Worshiping full out and thanking God for that 70% that he actually did. And not focusing on, yes, but, you know, we did this, but, you know, what about this? And I just really thank God and trust God that there's going to come a season of celebrating and worshiping our King, irregardless of whatever else and somebody else is doing. But I can just, I'm so excited about next weekend, because it's important to sit down and sit still as a church and say, but what has God done this year? Because it's so easy to say, yeah, but this and this has not happened. But thank God that we can sit still next weekend and say, Lord, we are building our altar here as a church and saying, Lord, we're still here. I remember it was so awesome. There was it's about 7 years ago now, but a few naked men ran into Stellenbosch Church. And it was quite disruptive and quite hectic, and they sprayed pepper spray. And it was so awesome. There was this massive oak from Rima Church. He was the worship leader. And it was so profound. Everybody was shaken up, you know. What do we do now? Cancel the service. He's like, okay, pull everybody outside. So we went out onto the tar road, and he started singing a song, and the song is called I'm Still Standing. And it was so profound in that moment. I just stood there, and I was like, yes, Lord. React to the situation, or just say, Lord, we are still standing. And that guy just started singing it out, and we went on, and it was a profound, profound service. And, in keeping with step with this thing of honor, I just want to read to us a scripture in Matthew 10. It says, he who receives you receives me. Jesus is speaking here. And he who receives me, he receives the one who sent me, speaking about Father God. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Can I take it a bit further in a sense? Anyone who has a gift of healing and you receive him, you can receive this gift of healing. Anyone who has a great heart of the Father and understands the Father's heart, if you receive him, you'll receive the Father's heart as well. What I really do believe the scripture is saying is, if you are open to the person next to you and the gift that God has placed in him, you can receive that. If you put high honor on him, if you honor him, if you place great value on what this person is and what God has done in his life, you will be able to receive that gift from him. I just really believe, I must apologize, I'm probably quoting Bill Johnson too much these days, and it goes actually against what I'm trying to preach this morning, not focusing on individuals. But yeah, I really do believe God is using him a lot and confirming what, and just a few things that I heard from the sermon of honor that he gave this week. He said, we need to start focusing and thanking God for the headache that he healed, and not only for the empty wheelchair. And why? What's the principle? If we start thanking God for the headache that he healed, what are we actually saying? We're saying, God, we drew near to you and you responded, and therefore we are praising you now. And then he can start trusting us with the empty wheelchair, because he is the great prize. He is the pearl of great prize at the end of the day. And if we start focusing on saying, Lord, but yes, there's not an empty wheelchair, then we say, Lord, we are boxing you and we're going to go give you praise once you do this and this. We're putting our standard on God. And I just really trust God in my life as well to start celebrating the headaches that has been healed. Where I know I prayed to God, I asked God for breakthrough, and he came through. And you know, it's just a big shift that I'm really trusting for in our lives. We need to celebrate what God has done. We need to thank him for these headaches that have been removed. And otherwise, I realized in my own life, otherwise we're living from breakthrough to breakthrough. And that period in between, you're not living at all. It's almost like, you know, a person that's drowning that comes up and he gets another breath and then he goes down under the water again. And then he holds up his breath until God comes through and then he scoops air again. I really do believe God wants us in between to start living and praising. I think there's so much life in between, because Henning just said such an awesome thing to me this week. You know, he says, like, we need to make a shift towards the fact that, you know, till the end of the days, we're going to be battling. And you must now understand it right. It's not that we are not overcomers and that we are not living in victory. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the fact is we're in a battle and we're going to be in one the rest of our lives. Make peace with it. And that if we can make peace with that, then we can actually say, okay, Lord, I know it's a battle, but I know you're on our side and you've called us to be victorious in this battle. But if you sit here so many times in the last year as well, and I was like, Lord, why are you bringing this thing across my path again? And, you know, when I just started making that change of saying, Lord, I just trust you in a situation that I'm going to overcome here right now. I'm going to get victory in the situation and trust you for it. But I'm not going to complain because it came into my life again. I'm going to thank you for it. Jesus was probably the person, without any doubt, that we should be the most easily to say we need to give honor to him, the King above all kings. Now look at this portion in Scripture, Luke 4, verse 18. This is where Jesus started his ministry. He took up the scroll in one of the synagogues and he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus is declaring that he has come to do. When he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Now listen what happened. You must always try and get the picture here. Here comes Jesus and he reads this. The whole crowd, it's as if Jacob Zuma walks in. The whole church is just going to, you know, stand still and give attention to this person. You know, this is what happened. They say, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Everybody stood still because something big was happening here. He spoke right into their spirits. Because all the things that their parents had been talking about, and then remember, there's been a quietness for 400 years, and now Jesus says something. The eyes of everybody just turned to Jesus, and they realized something big is happening here. And they said, and he began saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But now here's the interesting part. It switches right now. Because what? But what did they say? What is their response now? Oh, but isn't this Joseph's son? That's what they said right after it. Because you'll see it in scripture how it turns now. Jesus said to him, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel. Now he's going to show them two miracles now. He tells them a story about two miracles, but I'll tell you now why he's telling these two stories. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow, to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. That was outside of Israel. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogues were furious when they heard this. Now he showed two miracles here. Both these miracles, well, one was from Elijah and one was from Elisha, his follower. Now both of these miracles happened outside of Israel. So none of these miracles could happen in Israel. Why? Because there was no honor in Israel. That's why God had to send the prophets outside. And these guys did quite miraculous. Elijah was the provision, which he obviously gave. And then secondly, he prayed for the woman's son who had died. So quite miraculous miracles had happened there, but it couldn't happen in Israel. So in one sentence, everybody went from standing in awe and looking at Jesus, and then somebody said, oh, but it's only Joseph's son, you guys. I know you felt something, but it's only Joseph's son. They started reasoning with their minds, and they lost the biggest miracle that they could have, you know, tapped into right there at that moment. And then Jesus told them these two stories and saying exactly what's going on in their hearts. You know, no miracles can happen here this morning because you guys have no honor. You don't see the gift that is standing right in front of you. Now the question is did Jesus ever give honor in the Bible? If we look at the woman, Matthew 26, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar and a very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They saw this woman, what she was doing. What is Jesus' response about this woman, what she did? I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. How profound is that, you know? What were the disciples' response? They were actually, they were angry. You know, what have you done? And Jesus says, you know what, throughout the whole world, what she has done, I will tell of her. The Roman soldier, did Jesus not give honor to his faith? He said, nowhere in Israel have I found faith like this. When he said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. I know, I'm a general of an army. If I speak, somebody does it. And I know you've got that authority. If you speak, somebody will be healed. Just speak the word and I know my servant will be healed. Jesus was just in awe of this man's faith. And he says, I just give honor to this man's faith. We should not always wait for the breakthrough for the person with the big name, or the person who wrote the book, or the person who's going to be heading the conference. And I really feel that's what I said in the beginning. Jesus said, it is better for me to go away. And we've all heard the sermon, why is it better for Jesus to go away? He said, because the helper is coming. Now think practically about it. Why practically is it better for Jesus to go away? Because I tell you the truth, if Jesus was in town, I would open my house. And I would tell him, you're not going to be staying at Carl's house. I know he's the pastor of this church, but you're going to be staying at my house because I'm going to open my heart to you and I want to receive everything this weekend that I can from you. And that's why Jesus said, because everybody in church wants him to come and stay at their houses, obviously, because who doesn't? And that's the point. That's why he said, it's better that I go away because you know what? I'm going to send my spirit and he can stay in every house throughout this whole church. And therefore I say, isn't it weird that we now go again and now we say, we are waiting for this big speaker to come from America. We're waiting for this big speaker from South Africa. Or when this band comes and plays, aren't we doing exactly the same which Jesus said, don't do this because you don't have to wait for all these people. You don't have to stand in line because there's one Jesus. Everybody has the same spirit. Amen. I really just want to, read you a scripture and talking about authority and encounter. In Revelation 3:15, I think I read it last weekend with the offering as well. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. So you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those who I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The reality is we received, in the Great Commission, we've received authority. Because God has given us that authority. Jesus also said to his disciples, you've received authority over all unclean spirits. You can trample on them. But the thing is now, we only receive power when we encounter with Jesus. You've got all this authority. You've received all things that pertain to life and godliness. But where does the power come from? Why does many Christians not walk in that power? Why don't we always walk in breakthrough? And this is a humbling question to me as well. Why don't I have breakthrough in certain areas in my life? And I know and I realize it's because it's a lack of sitting and answering that call when Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Because it's when you encounter with Jesus, that's when you get that petrol for your engine. It's like we all have Ferraris, but we don't have any petrol. And if you don't spend time with Jesus Christ and encounter him, you won't have the power that we talk about. And that's what the scripture is all about. It's just the cure for lukewarmness. We always tend to focus on, oh, I'm lukewarm. But how do you get out of this lukewarmness? Jesus says at the end here, I stand at the door and knock. You must remember, he's talking to people. He says to them, you think you are rich and all these things, but you're actually miserable, wretched, and poor. But then in that same sentence, he says to those people, I stand at the door and knock. So it's such an encouraging scripture for me, you know, that he's not talking to the perfect pastor and says, I'm standing at your door knocking. He's talking to Christians who are not making it, who are not focusing on what God has called them for, in a sense, I want to say. And then he says to those people, I stand at your door and I knock. Please open up because we're going to have a great meal together. We're going to talk about all those things that are on your heart. Almost the last scriptures that I want to be reading to us. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. And I really do believe, and this is what we prayed for this week in intercession. And yeah, I just really trust for 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you received mercy. I just really want to and feel this morning that we as a church need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Forget what we've done. God declares this over us. And yes, many times in our lives we don't feel this, and it's not the reality. But I just thank God this morning that he will sort out those things that is hindering us from walking in the fullness of what he's declared now. May we never limit anybody or tell somebody that he's disqualified from being that exactly what God has declared over him because of a few things that he's done in his life. And I really just trust that this is what I wrote down, what Henning just said. We should not focus on what others were not doing. Instead, see what they actually did and who we are. This is such a great thing that summarizes for me. Honor is to recognize the person for who he is and not stumble over who he is not. Honor is to recognize who the person is who is sitting next to you without stumbling over who they are not. Is it not so true that so many times we disqualify us from this precious gift that is sitting right next to you? Because, well, you know, they can probably pray for me for financial breakthrough, but I know he's struggling with lust, so sorry, you know, I'm not going to receive that. Or whatever, you know, it's just a practical example. If we can just open our hearts to say, and that's what's so amazing, because there's people sitting next to us this morning in church who've got so many gifts, and I just really believe, and I'm just so excited about that, just to see it in my own life, to start saying, Lord, yes, I know this person can't steward finances at all, but he's got such a gift, he's got such an amazing gift and such a heart. Can you just come and pray for me? I'm not sure, how do you do this hospitality thing? Because you just get it right. I just see God has placed it in your life. And I believe that's the circle of faith and grace that God wants us to get into. Because that's the point. We are so focused, and I'm so angry with myself in my own life, where Satan has allowed me to either get offended or to give offense. Because either party is, you know, just as wrong, unfortunately. The one who gives offense and the one who takes offense. The Bible warns against both. And the sad thing about that is, for me, that just says that nobody in church is going to celebrate each other if there's offense being given and taken. And that's so sad, you know, because God, he just wants his people to realize the gifts that are sitting next to each other, this holy priesthood that he declares us to be. And if we can realize that and open our hearts to each other and trust God that we would rid the giving of offense and taking of offense in churches, then we would start celebrating each other and just saying, Lord, I just thank you for these people that you have placed next to me. You know, they are filled with your grace. They are filled with your spirit. Jesus, you went home, but you sent your spirit, and you've placed your spirit in every one of these people in this church, coming from Amsterdam, all over the world, you know. And we just open our hearts and say, Lord, thank you for this gift. Thank you that you've placed him for certain times in our church. And if we can just start doing it, I'm just really praying and trust God for that in my own heart as well, and to rid myself of anything that is keeping me from seeing the person next to me as this amazing gift. I just put a few questions out there. Who are you? And what is the inheritance that God has for you? And who is the person next to you? And what can you do to launch him into that ministry as well? I think that's another thing as well. A lot of times God is showing you things in other people's lives that have not yet come into being, but we need to trust that we're going to start releasing it over that person. In 1 Kings 19, I've spoken a bit about Elijah, but he was a great prophet, and we must never, I think, many times in our lives, we talk about stories about people in the Old Testament and how wrong they got it. I just read yesterday again in Elijah, you know, the transfiguration on the mountain when Moses and God spoke to Jesus, there was another person. That was Elijah as well. So he could have probably done a lot of things wrong, but at the end of the day, he was still one of those people that, you know, when God said came to earth with Moses and spoke to Jesus, his son, Elijah was there as well. So when I tell the story, I don't want to go like, yeah, he's done a lot of things wrong in this area, and, you know, we're actually getting it right. But he says, yeah, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. Now, this is the portion of scripture. He just defeated 400 Baal prophets, and then Queen Jezebel said, well, by the end of tomorrow, I will have your life as well. And then he ran in fear, and he hid in the cave. And now God comes to him, and he speaks to him, and says, and he asks him, what are you doing here? Now, look at his response, how he says, I've been very zealous for you, Lord. So firstly saying, I've done all the things right. The Israelites, they've broken your covenant. They've broken down your altars. And they put your prophets to the death with the sword. Now, the only thing that I actually want to show you from the story this morning is this portion. In the end, we know it talks about the wind coming, then the earthquake coming, and then there was fire. And then he says to them, and Elijah says, Lord, I am left. I am the only one who is left. And then the fire comes, the wind comes, and the earthquake comes. And right after it, he says, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. God is not always interested in the big things and showing us through the miraculous signs. And why I want to tell you this morning is because I want to just translate it to people in our church. And I hope that we always get, not the person that's standing here in the front and almost saying, yes, but I know, you know, this guy, he preached so brilliantly, or this, you know, this person sang, so if I can just get to them, and if they can just pray for me, the breakthrough is going to come. And I really want to trust God with the still small voice that is sitting in the back of the corner that you never hear, that you can open yourself up for that prize that is sitting right there. God is not always in the big and the miraculous. He's a still small voice in church. There might have been some walls which have broken down this year. It's just so encouraging. I felt this week when we were praying, you know, yes, a lot of walls have been broken down in church, and this thing and that, and this was not right or whatever. But I just felt God say to me, who is building the church? And I was like, well, yeah, a lot of things have been broken down, but if you did it, then, well, okay, then I'm just saying amen, Lord, because you're building the church. Who am I to complain, or who am I to argue that you're not doing your work? It's not our work. We're not here to build the church. And I really do trust God that a shift in our hearts would start happening, because you know what? And I really do believe that's the reality. Church is going to keep changing till the end of times. Church is not going to be the same. And I really do, well, in Shofar's case, we've seen it over years. We keep changing. But it's so awesome for me, you know, because that's not what we were called to do. Jesus said that he's going to build the church. And it just, my mind just changed this week about that. You know, what is our role and what are we here to do? We are being built up as living stones. We are stones in this church. And, yeah, I just feel in that sense, it just brings so much relaxation on us. You know, where God says to us, start focusing on what I've called you to do. You know, I've got this. I'll sort this out. I know how to build this church. I just said to you that don't miss the hand of God in the insignificant. To look for God only in the powerful, in the miraculous ways. Examples, big church, rallies, conferences, highly visible leaders. Maybe to miss him because he is often found in a gentle whisper in the quietness of a humbled heart. Elijah did great miracles, but his emotions took over him. There were still 7,000 people who had not bowed the knee. And you know what? I read yesterday in that story, I always thought that Elijah had no knowledge about the other people because he was obviously on his own and the crows had fed him and all those things. But just before that, another prophet came to him and said, you remember the time when Jezebel tried to kill the prophets? You remember I hid 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave? He knew about those prophets that had not been killed. And yet, what does he respond to God? I'm all alone. His emotions had taken over him. And that's what I feel many times, and I felt personally as well this year in church. Lord, it's just me. Nobody else is serving you. And it's probably not a nice thing to say in that sense, but we felt many times this year that, you know, Lord, but is nobody awake to this thing? Is nobody in, you know, I just had to test my own heart and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't realize all the things that you're doing between these amazing people in church. And I just thank God for every little gift in this church. And I want to start celebrating every person here. And that's this morning, that's the sermon this morning. And that's why we're going to end off with worship now. As Jan Kors said last weekend, we're going to worship God to worship God. Not to do anything, not to get this or get that. We're worshiping God for who he is this morning. And we're just going to focus on being worship band. You can come to the front. And I just really worship God, but we can just stand here this morning and trust him for whatever needs to happen in our hearts. But as we do that, we just focus on him. And Yeah, Clarence, I'm putting you on the spot now. I'm giving over you to you, and you need to lead us in.